God's so good to us. But he's better to me. He's better to me than I am to him. I have to admit that. I don't know about y'all. I can resemble that remark very well, too. I'm trying to have a backup system here because my front system died. Plan A is batteries dying. Isn't that cool? Technology is awesome. Yeah. When it works. I actually one time took a brick to one of them. Not out of meanness, not out of madness, but I said, you know what? I'm going to fix you so you'll never hurt another soul and get caught up, mess up somebody in the middle because it was already broke all to pieces. And so I said, I'll fix you. And I did. Praise God. That weren't what I'm talking about. It, and I had something already wore out, and so I was just gonna say, well, I'm gonna fix it so nobody else will have to worry about it. Okay, here we go. We're talking about identity, and you gotta know who you are in the Lord, amen. And when you know who you are in the Lord, you can handle a whole bunch of stuff. When you don't know who you are in the Lord, you can't, amen. So let's go through here. I'm wondering how far to take this. But I was asking about this too. I'm looking into it. I'm not 100% sure. But who would be interested in a 6 to 8 week class on Tuesday nights, just like it is now, but a 6 to 8 week class where you will actually be tested and you'll actually get a chance to step up here and do some hands on stuff. And when you get through at the end after a test, you will have an every Christian church certification that you have successfully completed coffee, tea, and me counseling. That you can slay counseling. How many would be interested in doing something like that to help you talk to people? You gonna be interested? Oh, I know he'd be awesome. There's no doubt. All y'all be awesome. There's no doubt. But I'm trying to think it'll be something that sounds silly. Coffee, tea, and me counseling, coffee cup. Here's another cup, something, or hitting the grounds running. Have a coffee cup, turn it down, hitting the grounds running. But what's going to do is I'm going to try to fix it so you don't have to carry and do a lot of study at home. I even wrote to one of my professors last night, and I said, and because she actually got kind of upset with me. I have a psychology professor that is ADHD and bipolar. So she don't just flip back and forth. She flip back and forth real fast. But that's my opinion, because she won't stop long enough for me to do anything. And when she does stop, she don't tell what she's doing and she keeps on going. And then she goes from, "Wow, everything's fine though." And so I finally wrote her again last night. I said, "Can you please tell me what you want? If you tell me what you want, I can, don't correct my paper 3 weeks back and then expect my next paper to be correct. Because if you correct my 3 weeks ago, this week, then I've already done 2 more weeks of classes, and so I've done it according to the one you're telling me is wrong." And so I got a 75 last night. I wrote back because I don't understand why you're doing this, and you need to help me out. And she wrote back and said, "If you let me finish reading your paper, I'll finish grading it." She didn't tell me that. So I just honestly think she must have. I don't know what happened, but I got 100. That 75 went to 100 anyway. Praise God. So I understand. So when we do this, you're not going to have to commit to doing a whole bunch of work at home. Although I will give you something to read at home. But what you will need to commit to is being here. Because if you want to get the full 6 to 8 weeks, then you need to be here. And if something happens, you can't be here. I know how to get with you later and give you the stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're going to be penalized if you can't be here because there's something going on in your family or something. We'll work around that. But still, whatever it is, when you get the little certification from the church, don't, you know, it's not, you can take the little certification and 50 cents and buy a drink, okay? But what I mean is, is you're gonna it's gonna be how do I sit across the coffee table and talk to my friends about problems. So if y'all are interested, I'm praying about it and checking it out, and it'll be we'll try to get it set to where we see the best time to start it. And if we have to, we'll do a little bit and stop so we can have breaks and then come back and go do it again. But it's gonna be awesome. Because anything you can do to help improve yourself, improve somebody else. I forgot about it. I had it on. Yeah, we just talking about. I forgot about that. We went in the donut shop and I had left my badge on. I forgot all about it. And she said, all this time, I didn't know you worked for the sheriff's office. And so I turned around and said, we all do. And I said, we're working undercover. And she said, really? And people just started going. We got the donuts we wanted. Yeah, didn't have to wait. All right. No. We just. Yeah, his was. Mine weren't. All right, here we go. What? Here's our one little start. What? And I should have put identity crisis, not just who are you up here. But again, I was running around trying to do all this at different times, and so it's been piecemealed together. What is your real identity? What is an identity? Is identity something you're born with, or is it changeable, or is it never able to change it? We've already talked about that. There's part of you that's born a blank slate. There's another part of you that you have inherited, and you know, so he sure acts like a whole lot like granddaddy. I reckon so. He's inherited that from granddaddy. Well, that sure acts like a whole lot like his daddy. You know, like DC said, when you've seen me, you've seen the father. That is more true than you'll ever imagine. You know, DC and I, you know, but at one time it was more me and Daniel. And then Daniel went to be a cop, and then he went overseas and came back, and Daniel and DC switched. And so, of course, DC was always close, but I mean, not as close as he is now. And Daniel was really close, and now he's backed up. That's just because of life experiences. Okay, and so if you catch Daniel on a good day, you'll say both of them, you can tell him you're from your father. You know, like I remember an episode of Bonanza where Ben sent all of his boys, all three boys, out to take care of some business, and all three of them wind up staying because people couldn't pay, wind up staying and helping them and doing all this stuff. And when they come back, he said, well, did you do it? And every last one said, well, no, Dad. And they went back and said, and they said, well, we're just doing what we thought you would do, and they did. You know, it was one of the most awesome Bonanzas I'd ever seen. Oh, by the way, the place where they were filming Bonanza is up for sale. It's in Northern California. It's up for sale for $69 million if anybody's got some spare change. They went, yeah, $69 million. Hey. Okay, I'll call them tomorrow and tell them we got a half and half right here. Is that, so you could... Okay. It says Nevada, but it was filmed in California. Okay. Emotional conflicts within the, oh, here, excuse me. What happens if you're caught in an identity crisis? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Would you be like an amnesiac, somebody that's had amnesia? Would you don't know who you are? Could you even find your own way home? There's a lot of people that I know right now that I deal with, and I'm not, and when I say that, I'm not talking about here in the church. I'm just talking about in my family, and it seems like I always wind up getting caught up in something. No matter where I go, I always wind up getting caught up in something. And I know what it is. It's just that's God doing that. It's like, think about the stuff y'all do. Brother Wayne, I guarantee you get caught up with a bunch of crippled folks and people that need encouragement and people that see faith. You get around people that need to be encouraged. Y'all be around people that need help. It's because God says your gift will make room for you. And that's what it's doing. It's providing, and with making room, meaning it'll move stuff out of the way and put you right where you need to be. Okay, so there's a lot of times you're where you need to be. You don't want to be, but you're there. Because your gift has made room for you. All right, so what a fearful situation. If your heart is heavy with fear, if your heart is heavy with fear, if you don't seem to know yourself or know what to do with yourself, you just know that God knows. In other words, there's times I remember one day I come walking up, and I drove up to the church. There were people outside, and I got right up to the door, and I said, this isn't where I was going. I was going to the other side of town. And everybody said, hi, Pastor, how you doing? So everything's cool. What you doing? I'm just getting some books, walked inside. Picked up some books, went back outside like I knew what I was doing. You know, you get things on your mind, you can't think. But still, that's the way it works. So he not only holds all the answers, he also waits for you to seek him for the right answer. Think about this now. He not only holds all the answers, he wants us. He waits for us. He desires us to ask him to help us. Amen? So here we go. We're going to jump into this thing. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Now, when you take that word fears, you can put in that word fear. That fear is a big word. It includes heavy-duty fears. It includes phobias. What's a phobia? Somebody tell me what a phobia is. Irrational fear. That's right. Irrational fear. They took a little 11-month-old boy. A scientist did. Took an 11-month-old boy. And he couldn't stand the ringing of bells. It was too loud. And so what he did was he was trying to find out if he could induce a phobia or a fear. So he took an 11-month-old baby, the psychologist scientist, and whenever they'd ring that bell, he'd get him. So they started putting the bell there and putting a black cat. Before he did all that, he was playing with the black cat. But then they come up and they bust that bell and put that black cat there. And every time they would introduce that cat, they would bust that bell. And eventually, it would get him so bad that the next time they could put the cat up there, and even when they put the cat up, they didn't have to ring the bell anymore. They had him scared of it. Not only was he scared of the black cat, he was scared of a black mouse. He was scared of other little black animals because of being introduced through an unrelated stimulus. And so you got this stuff going on inside, and so that's what Satan tries to do to us. He does the same thing. So we have fear of things that, honestly, we shouldn't be afraid of. We shouldn't be afraid of whatsoever. But when you say he delivered from all my fears, there's fears, there's doubts, there's frustrations, there's phobias, there's all kinds of fears. It's all wrapped up inside of that. Whatever it is that causes you to, remember, there is healthy fear. Healthy fear keeps me from stepping out on the road when traffic's coming by. Healthy fear keeps me from picking up a rattlesnake. Okay? Unhealthy fear asked me, I want to walk out in the yard because I'm scared of a snake. Okay? So, inner emotional conflicts. And this is some heavy-duty stuff here. Inner emotional conflicts within those who are struggling to establish a personal identity are common to every age group. Every age group. Usually, the biggest people that it affects is people my age, women, between 30 and 40, men between 40 and 50, and teenagers. That's usually where the biggest group that gets affected, but it affects all groups. So now, here it is. Those feelings are related so much to external events that they are related to, as they're related to inner thoughts and preoccupations. So you got external events, you've got the inner thought life. I hope nobody has. But how many may have, and don't raise your hand, how many they may have said, I'm not able to handle what's been set before me in just the last few days. And when I say handle, I'm talking about a plate with food on it. I'm talking about you're up against something, and it's a tough thing to be up against. And in your inner thought life, you've already got this emotional conflict. And instead of saying, God, you need to help me with this. With your help, I can do this. Instead, you just go, I cannot do this. And you just back up. You stop. You freeze. Okay. I want to tell you, when that happens, that is not what God wants us to do. To back up and say, I can't do it. And you freeze. You say, God, with your help and with your timing, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which means I'm capable to do all things with his strength. I can do it. So, that's right. So now, here it is. Anxiety. This is a domino. These are dominoes. I'm going to take this domino. Think about this. If you're taking notes now, write down, this is the dominoes. Because once one starts, the next starts, then the next starts, then the next starts, then the next starts. And so you'll find this in your own life. Think about situations in your own life over the years where you had something happen, and like a domino, when you started, this effect started. When this effect started, the domino started, then you got your problem. First is anxiety. I don't know who I am. I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know why, God, you allowed me to be in the middle of this. I'm not capable. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of this situation. God, I don't know why I am here. I don't even know who I am anymore. And that starts, if it's not handled correctly. Here's what it does. And I'm going to say like Psalm 55. It says Psalm 55, verse 5 and 6. This is David talking. It's amazing. He says in verse 5 and 6, fear and trembling have come upon me. Horror and fright have overwhelmed me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Wow. Mighty David, the giant slayer. The man who would not back down at 17 years old. A man twice his size. With both nations looking on at him. Doing stuff like that. And now he's going, I can't stand this. I can't take it anymore. I've been there. What about y'all? I've been there. I just can't take this anymore, Lord. I just give me some wings. I'll fly out of here. But you know what? But down here at the bottom, God talked to him. And in verse 22, he said, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved or made to slip, made to fall, or fail. I like this other version. Place your troubles on God's shoulders. He will carry your load. He'll help you out. He will never let good people topple into ruin. Psalm 55. So if you're taking notes again, they've got the bottom of your page. Psalm 55. Start with verse 5 and 6. And you see the trouble that David's going through. And then you look down to verse 22. You'll see that God has his back. So, anxiety. Anxiety moves from what anxiety, when you hear anxiety, what if only, it's the ifs, what ifs, that's anxiety. So you say, well, how do I know if I'm depressed or I'm anxious? Here's anxiety, what if, I can never, blah, 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 why should I, that's anxiety. Then depression. Depression takes you to the point. Anxiety, you can move forward, but you're going to move forward cautiously. Once depression hits in, you won't move forward. Because depression is no hope for the future. I've been there. And many times I had to learn, you know, you got to stop doing this. You got to stop finding yourself crowded in a corner. Don't let the devil beat you in a corner, because if he gets you in that corner, he's going to whip you. You're going to have to stand up to it. And it seems like every time I'd get in those kind of situations, the Lord, on my job or somewhere, would put me in a position where I had to stand. Just had to stand. And whether it be a project manager or when I was an industrial engineer, I was stuck in spots where only the person I could trust was God. And something had to be done. And what it did was that physical thing, once I stepped beyond the anxiety through the depression, I stepped up on top of it, and God said, do the same thing spiritually. Because spiritual and natural life and spiritual life are like this. It's not spiritual life and natural life. It's like this. Natural life, spiritual life is interconnected. So there's depression. No hope for the future. I like what John 14 says. Do not fear. Do not let your hearts be troubled, depressed, agitated. Matter of fact, one word for that, do not fear, means literally don't let your hope be wrecked upon or against the rocks. Wow. Don't let your hope be smashed against the rocks when your ship is being battered. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely also on me. I like this weather. Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. That's pretty cut and dry. You trust, hey, don't let this get the best of you. Depression sets in. Then you've got then you've got no hope. It'll never work. Now it's gone from if to now it's a definite. You've gone from the question mark to the period. Depression has that period right there. And then self-doubt comes in. Another period. I'm so inadequate. I never have what it takes. I'll never be able to do this because I just don't have it. I don't, but he does. And I find myself on a weekly basis going up against things that I honestly, if I could, I would say, Lord, I remember as a chaplain at the hospital, and you get called and you have to run and find the place because Greenville Hospital, they're always changing it. You had to go find it. And then once you got there, you walked in the room and you had to quickly analyze the situation. You had seconds to analyze the situation. Look at the people, see what they were going through, see who you could talk to, see who was going to be listening, and see what was going on. And then you start trying to help these people that you did not know. And sometimes it make my heart just race. And I'd leave and I'd say, I'm not going back. And next time it come up, I was right back. You know why? Because there's a difference in giving in to that and moving forward. And the more I did it, the better or the more effective I was at it. And it still made me anxious at times, but I didn't let the anxiety tear me apart. Moved through the anxiety, did it afraid, and God would bless it. So here's the self-doubt. I'm so inadequate. I can't do this. There's no way. And then, look, and once you let the self-doubt get in, then you become self-conscious. I'm not acceptable. I'm unloved. Not only am I not able, nobody wants to even have me around because they know that I'm not able. They know that I don't have what it takes. They know. They see it. They don't necessarily see it. Like the guy, they always thought people were talking about him. Couldn't even go to football games because he'd be sitting in the stadium and every time the team would get together to huddle, he thought they were talking about him. You know, once that self-conscious comes in, you need to go to Matthew 11. I love this scripture. I'm working on a sermon right now. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I love this right here. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden and are overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quietness. Wow. Blessed quietness. I can tell you, when I get around my whole family and they're going at it, especially with all the grandyoungers, with seven girls, sometimes I go in the room and say, Lord, I need some blessed quiet. Because all I'm hearing is, Pawpaw, she pulled my hair. Pawpaw, she done this. Well, Pawpaw, they won't do this. Pawpaw, Pawpaw, Pawpaw. And I just go in the room and just say, Lord, you got to help me. You got to do something. And I try it. I just try it. I try to be smart. And take one set at a time, place. Just one set. Then go get the other set and take them. Then get the other set and take them. That way, at least I'm dividing and conquering. All right. So, and I love every minute of it. So don't think I'm complaining. I like this one. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. He says, "Are you those who labor are heavy laden? Those who labor, those that are worn out, and heavy laden, worn. The first labor are those that are worn out physically." Heavy laden are those that are worn out emotionally and spiritually. Bring it on. He doesn't tell us, bite the bullet. He says, bring it on. I'll help take care of you. Then you go from self-conscious to low self-esteem. You just say, I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just not good enough. Just forget it. I went from, I don't know if I can do this, to it'll never work. Then I'm not adequate. And now everybody else sees it. And now I just know I'm no good. And now it stops you at low self-worth. It stops you in all your activities. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Psalm 13 and 2. Now, outer evidence of conflict. Inner emotional struggles with identity usually result in the following patterns of inconsistent behavior. Now remember this now. There's two scriptures here I want you to see in the middle of all this. First, when we looked at Matthew 11, 28 and 30, you see people carrying unnecessary loads. Do you know that so many times, there's a song out that talks about this, and it's so awesome. It is, you were never meant to carry it beyond the cross. Never meant to carry your load beyond the cross. When you get to the cross, he says, cast all your care upon him. That means literally take your load and strap it to him like you would strap it onto a beast. Strap it onto a dromedary, and he will carry the load for you. And if you try to carry it, it'll kill you. All right? Then Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured in salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with this earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Meaning, no matter what's coming against you, God already knows it. He knows it. Yeah, he already knows it. Yeah, it's like, you know, have you ever gone to somebody and expected one reaction? And you tell them whatever happened, and instead of getting, you're waiting for the bad reaction, all of a sudden they go, that's nothing. It's fine. It'll be all right. And you feel good. Wow, that was awesome. Then you go to the person you expect to go, say that, and they go, rawr! And you go, wow. What triggered that? Simple. They were going under a load too, but again, God says no matter how they react, here's how I want you to respond. The difference in reacting and responding. Reacting is just somebody coming out of the gate at you. Remember, if the doctor gives you medicine for hives, and he says, did you get a reaction from it? Meaning, you got more hives. Or did it respond to the treatment, meaning the hives went away? So, when we find people reacting, we, in order to get it down, have to respond. A soft answer turns away. So, Proverbs, one more scripture, then we're going to talk about this. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. And again, this is the message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Guilty. Guilty. Can anybody else say guilty? Try to figure it out ourselves. Guilty. As charged. Listen to God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. You know, I go along sometimes and I hear a verse in my head and I see a person's face. And I sometimes say, well, Lord, you want me to tell them that verse? You want me to send it to them? I did it today to somebody. And the person said, what's this? I said, I just sent them a text. And I said, well, the Lord's been dealing with me to send it to you, so I sent it to you. It's, what does it mean? I don't know. You know. You know, I just know you quit asking questions after that. And there's been times where I wondered when somebody was going through something, and I said, you know, I felt like I should have called you ahead of time, or should have warned you, or should have give you some advice or give you a scripture, and I didn't, and I'm sorry. So I'll try to quit doing that. Now when God starts showing me something, I can tell when God's talking to you about something. I'm going to give you a little quick way to know if God's speaking to you to pray for somebody. Have you ever gone down the road and all of a sudden you started thinking about somebody else, either because you passed somebody that looked like them, or a song came on, or something happened that reminded you of a situation, or out of nowhere, they just were put on your heart very heavy? Okay, when that happens, you know what you do? You pray for them. You start out praying, and it may be that God gives you a verse or gives you something, but then you pray about that. Well, Lord, is that verse for me or is that for them? And like with this person, the verse came to me for 3 days. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. You know, and so, the other day, I remember going to, I was in Washington, and I rode by a shop, and I stopped in the shop, a friend of mine, and they said, what can I do for you, or something other, and they said, or I know what you're here for. I said, no, you don't. I said, I was riding down the road, and God told me to stop talking. And I said, you got a place in private with me. Person said yes, we went to a private place, and I said, why are you so funny? And the person looked at me like I have, but I mean, like, whoa, y'all all done that. Ever that's one of you, or you just talk to somebody and go, how'd you know I did that? It's the Holy Spirit in you. It's not you, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit in us. But when I left that person, when I got there, his head was in his hands, and when he left, he was just a grinning and having a good time. And all I did was say just a handful of words. But it was awesome to him to know that God took his time out to stop somebody else who was riding by to go in and talk to him. So, when you see somebody's face, you hear God talking to you, don't be like them. And you heard me talk about it. You've heard me say it many times. It was in New York. They were having some kind of camp meeting, and the preachers had all gone to eat before camp meeting. And this waitress kept coming by them. And God said, tell her that I love her. And he said, we're getting ready to go to camp meeting. I'm in a hurry. This doesn't make sense. And the Lord kept saying, tell her that I love her. Tell her that I love her. When he got up to go away, he said, I'll tell her after camp meeting. I'll come back and get some talk. I'll tell her after camp meeting. He said, tell her that I love her. He didn't do it. After camp meeting, he came by and saw a rescue squad outside. And so they walked by to see what was going on because he knew the waitresses were there. They got there and found out that she had committed suicide. Right there in the restaurant, in the back, and she left a note. Nobody loves me. And he had told him multiple times, God said, tell her I love her. Don't stop. It's like when I was training to be an EMT, they said, now you know this stuff. Don't you sit back and wait till you get your certification from the state of North Carolina before you do something. And they said, we had one guy who had learned CPR, came up on the scene, and the car pulled over on the side of the road. The man was on the side of the road. They had pulled him out, and he was having a heart attack, and his heart had stopped. When he got out of the car, his heart had stopped, and he wouldn't do CPR on him because he wasn't state certified yet, and the man died. And they told him, said, why didn't you do CPR? He said, I want state certified. He said, what's that got to do with anything? The man was dying. He needed your help. So don't say just because I'm not the preacher, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, I'm not on the praise team, whatever. God speaks to you that way. And I don't mean go up and start prophesying. I prophesy and come up on them and beat them up and find a way just to take scripture and beat them. I'm talking about, you know, something inspirational, something that's going to help them, something that's going to lift their heart. It's like the mighty armies you get. Mighty armies, every morning before I send that thing, I pray. And if it don't speak to me, it don't go out. It speaks to me first. If it makes my heart burn or makes my heart jump, then I'll send it out. And so the same way with everybody else. You've got to know, you know, and every day, just about every day, somebody will send a thing and say something like, wow, were you with me yesterday? Were you riding with me yesterday? Were you on that phone call with me just a minute ago? No. And I just tell them, look, all glory goes to God. Every bit of it goes to God. I'm just a Western Union boy. Okay, that's it. So, Here it is. This is a pattern of inconsistent behavior that'll happen to Christians. To Christians. All right. Number one, oppositional attitudes and actions. Oppositional. Somebody help me out. Oppositional. What does that sound like? What about this? No matter what somebody does, you're going to do the opposite. Think about it that way. Somebody tells you, you can make this will be all right, you can handle this, God's going to help you. No, I can't. There's no way. And all this dominoes have been set in, and you're trying to tell them it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Trust God. They don't want to hear it. So they got an oppositional attitude and an oppositional action, and instead of trusting God now, they're going in the other direction, and a lot of times they're going in a negative tailspin. So this is evidence. When you see this outer evidence of conflict within, you see somebody that's not acting their normal self. I weren't acting my normal self Sunday. And some of y'all never even saw it, but I felt it. I really felt it. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I saw why. It was Beverly's birthday, my first wife. And when I saw that, I sent a note to DC and Daniel. Couldn't to Bethany, because Bethany was in Charlotte. Can't talk to her, she has to talk to me. But I said, boys, how y'all doing? I know it's your mama's birthday. And then I thought about that. Her birthday, it always gets me. And on the day she died, it always gets me. Every December 23rd. I can't understand why I've got this heaviness in me. And then I looked down and said, oh, no wonder. This is 23rd. And I should be happy. It's Christmas. So again, that heaviness I felt, once I saw what it was, the heaviness lifted. Once I thought about it and saw it's just Barry's birthday, okay. Then all of a sudden I felt relief. But until then I was like, why am I feeling like this? Why am I feeling this way? And then I acknowledged it and then give it to God and everything was fine. So, difficulty in making positive spiritual commitment. Again, this is somebody that's having that the dominoes have struck and you've been zapped. And now you're so full of low self-worth and all this other stuff. Now you have difficulty making a positive spiritual commitment. Matter of fact, you have a difficulty in making any kind of positive commitment because now you've just gone off the deep end. And then unhealthy friendships. You know, Bethany is at Dove's Nest now because of this. She told me she knew what she was doing. I said, Bethany, you don't know what you're doing. Yes, I do, Dad. I said, Bethany, you don't know what you're doing. She said, Dad, trust me. I said, that's not a good thing to ask me to do. You're going to get in trouble. No, I won't, Dad. I'm going to do like you. I'm going to help people like you do. A couple weeks later, she's on the television. And I told her, I said, now, next time I tell you something, you're going to have to trust your old dad. You got to trust him, okay? Of course, now, she said, I trust you, Dad. And so she called here Sunday. But she called late before we left, so I got a chance to hold her up the speakerphone. And whoever was here, I think Eddie. And when she talked to Jeannie and Don, she started crying. I said, you have to dry that up now. So she started talking to Jeannie and Don, and she talked to Marina, and she talked to somebody. I don't know. She talked to whoever was here. She got a chance to talk to. And I thought she'd have called just a little bit earlier. I could let her be at the door and say goodbye to everybody. You know. But again, unhealthy friendships. Inability to make decisions or impulsive decision making. This thing right here, I have to guard myself, but it seems like I'm always guarding. My kids aren't so bad about it anymore, but that was one thing I was having to guard my kids about. And I do that in counseling too. People come in, they got their mind made up. I'm going to leave this person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And they don't realize it's impulsive. If they stop and think about it and realize how many people it's going to hurt, a lot of times people have committed suicide. It was an impulsive decision. If they'd have realized that they weren't the only victims, there's usually about 6 to 8 victims of suicide. One person's dead, but 6 to 8 victims. Right? Then rejection of family values, blind acceptance of the values of others. struggles with sexual immorality, difficulty in establishing intimacy. They're just kind of like, when you're around them, they're just kind of like they're seeing through you. This is somebody that's gone through the dominoes right here. Excessive difficulty in choosing a career. They might even hold down a job at that time. Inability to set long-term goals. The Bible says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man. Let me see if I can get my big old finger out of the way and hit these little bitty buttons. Because I want to see a better way to say that. Here. Let's see. Here it is. I love it, man. This is so awesome right here, the way they put it. It says, only I must trust, I must be in faith, he that asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. The one who wavers, hesitates, or doubts is like the billowing of a surge out of the sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man with two minds. It says a double-minded man. A man with two minds. Wow. It also means two spirits. Two hearts. Hesitating, dubious, irresolute. He is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything. He thinks, feels, or decides. Wow. Wow. When you find yourself falling for the trap, and it's a trap that Satan does, because remember, our identity is not in things. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Always. It's in the cross. It's in what the Word says I am. It's not who I say I am. It's who the Word says I am. You know, that's amazing to me how I watch all those guys get up on those stages and those debates and chew each other up. They chewed each other up. And now, Hillary now was being chewed up by Sanders. And now today, Sanders gets up and says, she's going to make a great president. We're going to let her. Oh, so what happened? Right, but what happened? I mean, he was all telling about how she was bad for the country, and all of a sudden she's going to be, you know, and then even on the other side, you see Donald Trump, and he was talking junk about all the other guys, Chris Christie, and now Chris Christie's on the short list to be a vice president. You know, what happened? They were all so bad, and now all of a sudden, you know, they went from to. What happened? Money's one thing. Yes, but I mean, again, if we're not careful, that's what will happen to us when we get caught in that domino. Matter of fact, I may even preach a sermon sometime about the domino and draw a domino up there on the thing and then let each dot be anxiety, depression, self-doubt, self-consciousness, low self-worth. And then you have them run, push them over. That's right. So, it's important. We're not a double-minded man. Now, does anybody have anything they want to add to, take away from, questions? Remember, I'm not the all-knowing Oz. there's a whole lot more to this than what I'm saying. And there's a whole lot more to it than what I've studied a whole lot more than I'm putting out, too. So there's a lot more to this. I'm trying to keep it simple, short, sweet, and to the point. Just like once we start that class, it'll be short, sweet, and to the point. Yes. Yes, old Popeye. All right. Anybody other than... Any questions? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Is this good? Identity is a good one? Good. It's helping me too. Today's not today. Okay, well, so again, and remember, if we do the if we do that class, the difference is going to be is now you're more watching and looking on the sheet. If we do that class, I'm going to be calling y'all up here. I'll ask some volunteers. But if it's always the same volunteers, we'll start drafting. And you'll come up here, and we're amongst friends. And what you'll do is you'll get a chance to talk to each other. And I might even do this. I've done it before. I've taught several classes along the way. And what I would do is I get on this side to the person that's needing counseling, and I would tell them what to say, or I'd just say it for them. Then I get on this side. And I'd say, okay, then what you going to do? How you going to talk? And honestly, it winds up being great. It really does, because now you got some hands on. It's always better to have some hands on. Jimmy Ruffin? The guy that worked on him for his hard cap said he had just a few years back had served his residency somewhere and said in one year, he had done 1,000 hard caps. That's the guy working on me. I don't want a guy I woke up and say, no. I saw one doctor. You know, that's kind of mean because he's been through it. They see one doctor, one OBGYN doctor, tell one of the ladies that she was getting ready to go out. He says, I tell you what. He says, nursing's coming here and prep you, and I just need you to pray, and I'm going to go in there and read up on it. I'll be right there. He was being funny because I knew the guy knew what he was doing. I'm just saying this, like, I don't know how I want to hear that. And the one thing I don't like is when Dennis is working on my mouth, and he goes, oops. Or, uh-oh. So, but you do remember the guy come running down the office and talked to the head physician in that place, and was arguing with him and said, that man just told my wife, she's 65 years old, just told her she was pregnant. And so he went and said, why are you telling that woman she's pregnant? She's 65 years old. He says she ain't hiccuping anymore. No, she's not hiccuping, but her heart ain't beating either. It's God. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all that you do in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we do have an identity. Every last one of us have an identity in you. Ask you, Lord, to bless us, to anoint us, to help us, God, to stand strong and to know that you were there, and you are ready to catch us. In the name of Jesus, anytime we stumble or fall, you're there. The Bible says that a righteous man stumbles 7 times, you'll pick him up every time. And we know, God, you're not counting how many times we fall, you're counting how many times we get back up. We love you, we praise you, and help us, Lord, to help others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.